welcome to worship today at St. Mark's. One of the scripture lessons that we will hear in today's service takes us to the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he began to call his first disciples to be future ministers in the church. That account in today's gospel reading kind of guides the focus of worship today, because our worship, all of the readings and sermon, will focus on the church's ministry today and the message that Jesus has entrusted to us to proclaim to those that he has given us to serve. That's the focus of worship on this third Sunday after Pentecost. After we sing our first hymn, number 250, we will follow the service that begins on page 4 in the service booklet. Come, let us worship the Lord. Please stand. Please be seated. The psalm of the day for today is Psalm 121, sung by the school children following the arrangement and text on page 6 in the service booklet. All of the scripture lessons selected for today's service center around the theme of the ministry of the church and the message that the church proclaims. In the gospel for today, Jesus preaches repentance and faith, and so does the prophet Jonah. In the first lesson for today, a reading from Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh, and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. In the second lesson for today's service, we see the New Testament church commissioning apostles to be the ministers who bring the message of the gospel to the world of their time and place. We read from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul
for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. This too is the word of the Lord. Out of respect for the words and works of Jesus in the gospel, I invite you to please stand. The gospel for today's service is also the basis for today's sermon, a reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing the hymn of the day, number 85. like to start out this sermon this morning with a quotation from a very staunch Christian apologist of our day. An apologist is somebody who is very articulate at defending the Christian faith. This man's name is John Warwick Montgomery. He is a Lutheran, not of our particular denomination, but certainly in the flavor of what you and I stand for as traditional or confessional Lutherans. And on a radio program that I sometimes listen to on the internet, Montgomery said this: "We should have fewer spaghetti suppers and more serious work on the defense of the faith in our churches." Kind of a bold statement. But I think if we analyze his statement more academically, I think we can understand what he is saying. I like his statement because he's a very bold man and he gets you to think when he says something. What should be the primary thing that we do as a Christian congregation? Nobody's against spaghetti suppers, right? We're all for fellowship events. We're all for things that help to foster us to have a sense of family as a Christian congregation. Those are fine things. But as one member of our Board of Adult Discipleship likes to say during meetings, yes, fellowship is important, but it's even more important that we work hard at getting people studying the Word of God into Bible study. I think we can agree with Montgomery that churches that help people get more into the Word of God, that help people to the point that they can really defend the faith with others, that's really advancing the church's mission. Well, Montgomery's statement should get any Christian to step back and think, what is our ministry and mission all about? If the church's main job is not a spaghetti dinner — we're not against the spaghetti dinner — but if the church's main job is not to put on a meal, then what is our main job? What is our ministry? What is our message to the world? What is our mission to reach out to the world? Those very important questions, which determine how we operate as a Christian congregation, are addressed in the gospel for today from Mark chapter 1. So let's take a look at those verses at the start of Jesus' ministry. Let's let this account challenge our presuppositions, and let's look at what the church's mission and ministry and message are all about. Several months ago, a trip to downtown Sacramento had me walking on a busy street corner, and right there on the corner was a street preacher. He had a folding chair with some brochures on it, but there he was. There were tons of people passing by, and there he was telling everybody in his own way to repent of their sins and to believe in Jesus Christ. Most people just walked right past him. A couple of people who I think were Christians engaged him a little bit and chatted with him, but most people just pretended that the street preacher wasn't there. I don't think Jesus would have identified himself necessarily with the street preacher, but in some ways, he kind of sounds like one as we start the gospel for today. His message was very similar to that man I saw on the street corner in Sacramento about 6 months ago or so. Mark writes, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time has come,' he said. 'The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.'" Our reading begins with the mention that John the Baptist had just been put into prison. He was put in prison by King Herod, who didn't like the fact that John was calling King Herod on the carpet for his immorality. Mark notes, though, that the unfortunate imprisonment of John was the fortunate beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Mark tells us about the inaugural message of this inaugural preacher. "The time has come," Jesus said. The special designated time in history that the prophets of the Old Testament had pointed forward to, that time and its significance for the world had finally arrived. And then Mark writes that Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is near." Jesus' ministry enacted God the Father's plan to provide the holiness that is otherwise absent from our lives. Jesus' ministry enacted his Father's plan to provide the forgiveness that people desperately need for union and communion with God. And that plan, which would establish the kingdom of God, was now set into motion with Jesus' ministry. God's reign and rule through his Holy Spirit had begun and was here to stay. And so Jesus says, "Repent and believe the good news." There are words in the Bible that we encounter so much that it's very easy to forget what they mean. And I think the words repent and believe are two of those words. We hear them a lot, we say them a lot in worship, but they're so common that we kind of forget their unique flavor. Repentance doesn't mean that I merely feel sorry for something that I've done. To repent actually means to have a complete 180-degree turn, a change of mind. When the Holy Spirit works faith in a person's heart, faith that believes in Jesus, that person is spiritually turned around. Yes, they may continue to struggle against sin, but they no longer see sin as they once did. They no longer see sin as okay. They don't think that they don't have a need for Jesus. The Spirit leads people to recognize that they are, as Luther says, lost and condemned creatures because of their sin, very much in need of a rescue. And alongside that call to repent, Jesus calls on us to believe the good news. Know and believe that God's kingdom brings us that good news that is embodied in Jesus Christ. Know and trust that Jesus was your perfect substitute every day of his life, all the way through his death on the cross. Know and trust that on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for your sins and won the victory over death for you by his resurrection. If you think about it, the words repent and believe naturally go together. They are kind of like two sides of the same coin. Are you going to repent unless you recognize that there is someone you believe in who saved you from your sins? Are you going to believe in Jesus as your Savior unless you realize that there is something that he needs to save you from, that you need repentance and you need his forgiveness? Repentance without faith, repentance without believing, is just remorse. And believing without repentance is just having spiritual information in your head rather than seeing Jesus as salvation. You really can't have one without the other. The church needs a message. So should we go with Jesus' message? Is repent and believe the good news the message that's going to bring in the crowds? Conventional wisdom suggests no. And given the fact that we haven't exactly had people pounding down our doors to hear a message of repentance and faith, we might wonder at times, is this the message that's really going to resonate? Is this the message that really needs to be proclaimed in our postmodern world? Now, if our goal was only to be a successful organization, then I suppose we should re-examine the church's message. But we are here to carry out the message that Christ has given us to preach. And that message is integral for our ministry. Our feeble attempts to alter and tweak and improve the message don't help the Holy Spirit one bit at all. We don't come to church or pray to God to tell him how to fix our soul's problems any more than we would go to the emergency room and tell the doctor serving us how to fix our body's problems. If doctors did allow medically uneducated patients to tell them what to do, there might be a lot more medical fatalities. So what do you think would happen if we rewrote the message that Jesus gave his church to proclaim? What would happen to souls? Fortunately, there is no reason for us to rewrite the message. The gospel's call to repent and believe is Christ's message, and you know just how much that message means to you. For you and I, we were all heading on a crash course with hell before Jesus came into this world and intervened, before the Holy Spirit came into your heart and turned us around spiritually. You and I would have been content to be on our own had the Holy Spirit not used the gospel of Jesus and the means of grace, God's word and baptism and Holy Communion, to deliver that grace of God into our hearts. Each one of you is a testimony to the fact that the ministry given to us by Jesus the Messiah has the one and only message that is needed to bring people into the family of believers. So we have a message. We have a message. Repent and believe the good news. Now, how are we going to get that message out to the world around us? In business, people would say that falls under the category of marketing. In the business world, marketing is the way you express the value of your product or service so that your potential customer will be interested and will want to purchase what you are offering them. At St. Mark's, I suppose that we could market ourselves by saying, we have a fantastic Lutheran school that just passed our accreditation process last week with absolutely flying colors. And so maybe we need to market ourselves to families in our community with children between the ages of 4 and 14. Or we could say at St. Mark's, we've had a 50-year tradition of liturgical, vibrant Lutheran worship. And so maybe that's the niche in the market. We want to reach out to people who are looking for that kind of experience. Or at St. Mark's, we might look at the community around us. And we might say, you know, the community around us has kind of changed since we got started with Pope and Franzman 50 years ago. And so maybe we need to think about how are we going to reach this changing demographic, this changing audience that is around us. These are just examples. The list can certainly go on. I bet you can come up with your own examples. But I think you get the point. At some point, churches have to ask themselves, how are we going to get the message out to the people in our area? Who is our audience out there? The business world calls that marketing. But in the church, we call that our mission, to reach souls with this message of Jesus Christ. Jesus essentially began the New Testament church's mission in the gospel for today. So if we're going to evaluate the way the church carries out its ministry and its message, we need to look at Jesus' mission and see how he started his ministry. The second half of the gospel for today says this. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. In these early weeks of the Epiphany season, we often hear 1 or 2 weeks worth of gospel readings that describe Jesus calling his first disciples to follow him. Today we see two sets of brothers, Andrew and Peter, and then James and John. The three of these four became the inner circle of Jesus' disciples as he would carry out his ministry in the 3 years that followed. We could say quite a lot about these men, but I want us to focus our attention on Jesus' actual words to them. He said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, this is an obvious play on words given the occupation of the men that Jesus was calling to follow him and to be his disciples. To be fishermen was their trade. And their new occupation was to be fishermen of sorts, except that they would catch souls and not fish. And they would use a message and not a net to catch souls for the kingdom of God. The mission of the church is to catch souls. And just as fish don't jump into a fisherman's boat on their own, souls do not jump into the kingdom of God on their own. So Jesus calls these men and several others to be his apostles, to be ministers of the church, and he teaches them over the 3 years that follow, he teaches them the message of the gospel so that they can preach this message to the world and carry out the church's mission in the process. Over 50 years ago, there was a radio preacher by the name of Donald Gray Barnhouse. And in one of his radio sermons some 50 years ago, he described what it would look like if Satan overtook a city. If the devil could overtake a city and control it, what would it look like? His description is kind of surprising. I read his description in a book that I've read, and let me read this description to you. This is the author of the book describing Barnhouse's sermon. Barnhouse speculated that if Satan took over Philadelphia, all of the bars would be closed. Pornography banished, and pristine streets would be filled with tidy pedestrians who smiled at each other. Odd. There would be no swearing. The children would say, "Yes, sir," and "No, ma'am." And the churches would be full every Sunday where Christ is not preached.
That's the kicker right there. Everything would look good on the outside, but then Jesus would not be proclaimed to the people that need to hear him. You see, if we are not proclaiming the message of Jesus, we cannot carry out the church's mission. If we are not preaching the life and death and resurrection of Christ for our salvation, the church will not be fishing for souls. The church might be fishing instead for popularity. If our message only focuses on pleasing a target audience, that's different than reaching a target audience. If a message focuses on pleasing a target audience, but then we only speak about Christ minimally or not at all, we may move closer into the direction of Barnhouse's description. We will become a church of people who think they are good, but do not rely on Jesus' blood and righteousness to be good in the eyes of God. And then we won't really be the church. That's why before we get started on our mission, we need to remember the message. Those two things really go hand in hand. We need to go back to Jesus' words, repent and believe the good news, and then take that message to a lost world. Just look at what that message has done for you and for me. Natural-born enemies of God have now been declared his righteous and holy saints. People who would otherwise run the other way when God approaches have now been lovingly brought into the family of God, and frankly, now we wouldn't want it any other way. Souls who were once covered in the filth and dirt of sin have been made pure and clean, washed and clothed in the gleaming white righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is what the Holy Spirit has accomplished in your heart through this message to repent and believe the good news. We should not doubt then that the same Holy Spirit will use the same message to accomplish the same purpose for others. By all means, let us think honestly and critically about those natural target groups that may be in our neighborhood and community, but let us never target them without the message to repent and believe the good news. And let us never tire of hearing that same encouragement for ourselves. For the encouragement to repent and believe is not just a one-time thing that happened when we joined the church, but it's a continual invitation from our Lord, who wants us to remain in his kingdom of grace right now until that day when he brings us to his kingdom of glory forever. Most of you here today have not been called into the public ministry of the church, but that doesn't mean you don't play an important role in the ministry of the church. Practically speaking, the majority of people who come to a Christian congregation come because someone else invited them to come, because someone else had a connection to them and brought them along with them. There's not one of us here today who doesn't know someone else who needs to hear that message of the church's mission, needs to hear us confessing our faith to them. Sometimes sharing your faith with somebody can be very scary. There's no doubt about it, especially if you haven't done it or you haven't done it in a while. But that's why it's so important for us to fill up our soul with the church's message of the gospel. Then you will be ready to confess your faith, even to defend your faith when the opportunity provides itself. Then you will be ready to play your little part in the church's mission and proclaim repentance to a world that desperately needs Jesus. Let's pray that God gives us the opportunities, and let's pray that we stick to the message when those opportunities come our way. Amen. Worship continues on page 9 of the service booklet with the song, "We Praise You, O God."
may be seated as we join now in the prayer of the church. At the time for special prayers and intercessions, we want to remember our brothers and sisters at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. As Pastor Schmidt announced last week, he declined his call to serve that congregation, but that means that congregation is still looking for a pastor to serve them. Very often when another church calls one of our pastors, we often think of them almost as our competitors. They're taking one of our pastors from us. But we also need to realize that they want a pastor as desperately as we do not want to lose our pastor. And so for that reason, we want to pray for them that God would give them the right pastor to serve their congregation as quickly as it is his will. We will include that later in the prayer of the church, which begins on page 11 in the service booklet. Let us join to pray. Eternal God and Father, we give you thanks for the blessings we share as members of your holy church, for your gracious word and sacraments, for opportunities to worship and grow in faith and knowledge, for occasions to serve and be served, for fellowship with believers in our congregation and in our synod.
Help us to rejoice in these blessings, dear Lord, and to use them faithfully.
Jesus Christ, Lord of the Church, you give grace to your people by calling us to be your witnesses in the world. Open our eyes to see the great and noble mission that lies before us. In the hurting eyes of the lonely, in the pained eyes of the sick, and in the searching eyes of the lost, help us to see your face, O Jesus, and to serve others as we would serve you.
Awaken us to the opportunities you give to proclaim your message of love.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, through word and sacrament, bestow on us the wisdom and power we need to witness clearly and to act boldly. Help us to speak the truth in love, to give the reason for the hope that we have, and to conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect.
Set our hearts on fire as we work and witness for Christ.
Bless the church with men and women who are willing to proclaim your word in places where we cannot go. Keep them and their loved ones in your care, and let nothing hinder their work. By the power of the gospel, restore their spirits each day so that they do not lose heart as they serve us and others. Lord Jesus, you instituted the office of the public ministry and have given your people the privilege of extending calls to serve us through that ministry. We pray for your divine blessing on our brothers and sisters at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, who continue to pray for a new pastor to serve their souls with your word and sacraments. Answer their prayers in your good time with a faithful pastor whom you have blessed with the gifts and abilities that will best benefit their ministry. Enable all congregations across our synod to work together with their called pastors and teachers in a spirit of harmony and love, that your kingdom may flourish among us and come into the hearts of many others to the glory of your name. Wherever your word is proclaimed, O Lord, grant it success. Let your kingdom come to us and others, so that we and many more might join the assembly of saints and angels to sing your praise forever.
Savior of all, hear our prayer, and help us in our mission. Amen.
As we have responded to God's word with praise and with prayer, we also respond to him now by bringing our gifts to him.
Thank you.
Please stand as our service continues on page 13. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
It was good to be in God's house with you this morning. We pray that the message of Jesus' love that you heard served to strengthen your faith. If you'd like to learn more about St. Mark's and our message, I'd encourage you to speak with one of our pastors after the service, either Pastor Stray or Pastor Schmidt. They'll be in the back and they'd be happy to talk with you. I have one church-related announcement to share with you this morning. We have a special treat coming up 2 Sundays from now. February 8th, we'll have our annual organ recital. Our guest recitalist comes from Waukesha, Wisconsin. His name is Mark Davidson, and he's an outstanding musician. So if organ music is something you enjoy, I encourage you to attend that recital. It's also a good opportunity, if you have friends who enjoy this type of music, to invite them to come, and it's an opportunity to share St. Mark's with them as well. People who do come are encouraged to give a $10 donation. That's not a requirement, but it will help us defray the cost of Mark Davidson's travel. I also have a school update to share with you this morning. First of all, several accomplishments, and it's possible that these accomplishments, when you hear them, may lead you to want to praise Jesus with some applause. I'm going to ask you to save the applause for the third one. First of all, every year we have a school spelling bee. We participate in the National Scripps Spelling Bee, the one that leads to that amazing event in Washington, D.C., where you see those children spell amazingly difficult words. So it starts with a school spelling bee back in December, and then our school champion takes a written test to try to advance to the regional spelling bee, which takes place in March. Sometimes our students advance, sometimes they don't. This is one of the years where we had a young lady advance to the next level. She's a sixth grader. Her name is Zibusiso Gumbo, and on March 4th, she'll be participating with about 60 other spellers from the region. That's a process narrowed down from thousands that start this process. So she's already in the top 60, and she'll go down there and do her best and try to advance to the national bee. A very difficult accomplishment, but we're very proud of her for advancing. 2 Saturdays ago, we hosted our annual basketball tournament. We invite 3 other schools to have a day of basketball with us. Our girls, for the first time that we've hosted this tournament, managed to win the championship in decisive fashion. 2 very nice games they put together, and they won that championship with a nice, solid performance. So we're very proud of them as well. And then the third accomplishment, Pastor Stray referenced in his sermon this morning. 7 years ago, our school became accredited, and it was time to renew our accreditation. So that process involves a self-study where we round up an army of our own people, approximately 50 participated this time around, and we take a very close look at every aspect of our school's program of Christian education. There's 245 standards that we look at, and we're trying to find out, is there evidence that tells us that our school is meeting these standards and performing at a very high level? So our self-study concluded, we prepared our report, and then this past week a visiting team visited our school for 3 days. A representative from the Synod in Milwaukee and then 3 other local people came in, and basically they looked at our report and said, all right, is there validation that shows that what St. Mark's found about themselves is truly happening? Are they meeting these standards? The visiting team met with us Thursday afternoon, and after taking a close look at all of our work, they informed us that we met better than 95% of the standards, which qualified our school for exemplary status in accreditation. So we're very proud of that accomplishment. I want to thank everybody who participated in that self-study. It was a lot of work, and thank you for your time and energy. The one thing, you know, everybody probably took something different from that visiting team's report. The one thing that really stood out to me as far as what I was hearing them say is that they were very impressed with just the overall culture and climate at St. Mark's. And that's a collective effort of students. They were very impressed by our students, our teachers, our parents, our congregation members, everybody working together as a team to have a quality Christian school. So thank you. And then I would like to also share an invitation with you. Pastor mentioned in his sermon that the best way to bring people to St. Mark's is by our members inviting them and making personal connections. The same is definitely true of our school. We can promote our school in the community in many different ways, but number one by far as helping our school connect with new families is when people share our school directly and invite them to come and see what our school is all about. So next Saturday morning from 10 until noon, we have our annual Play Day Open House. That's an open house geared toward young children. Children who would be old enough for junior kindergarten and kindergarten next fall. So right now they're probably 4 and 5 years old. The play day is fun activities, bounce house, face painting, games, and so forth. Parents have the opportunity to meet our teachers and get to know our school better. And then in the back this morning at the school table, we have these bright orange postcards. If you know somebody who might be interested in coming and taking a look at our school at that open house next Saturday, I'd encourage you to share this. It has all the information you need on it. It says Kindergarten Play Day Open House, and that's because we distributed these in a particular way where we just wanted to highlight kindergarten. But it's also for junior kindergarten. Please be encouraged to share our school, and the more people we can have at that open house, the better next Saturday. Thank you for your time this morning. May God bless your week ahead, and as you leave this morning, please greet one another. Thank you.